Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Give us a call, 515-602-9731. And just press 1 to be part of the conversation. Redneck and I's Radio, all things trucking and then some. We're here every weekday live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. RedneckandI's.com, that's our website. Please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. You can find the link to that at our website. And links to all of our great sponsors over there, too. One of the sponsors I like to mention, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTRtransportation.com. It's Load to Ride Transportation, a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. So if you're looking to stay busy and get treated right, give them a caller. Load to Ride Transportation. It's LTRtransportation.com. So top of the list of Google searches that I saw that I thought was very interesting was CNBC. Of course, this is a market, kind of like a business channel, website. You know, CNBC is a cable channel on your cable listing there, and they've got a website, and it's all about, you know, market, you know, business and stuff like that. So their article that they put on there, it says demand for semi-trucks is surging and four companies stand to benefit. And I'm looking at them like thinking, what do they mean by four companies? Are they talking about trucking companies? No, the truck manufacturers is what this article is about. So it is very, very unique, and I always like to go into a little detail about what they're talking about. And it's really surprising, actually, because, it's no surprise to us in the trucking industry, but you would think that market people and, just overall public would be, really surprised that only four companies make big trucks in America. And that's how it is. I mean, ever since... Kenworth and Peterbilt are all with PACCAR, right? And ever since that happened, really the whole truck thing is all down. I mean, you got PACCAR, Volvo, Daimler. What did they say here? They said, did they name them? Forgot if they did or not. Of course, you got to get through all the ads and everything. Yeah, Daimler, PACCAR, Volvo, and then Traton, T-R-A-T-O-N, is one of the others in that whole scenario. So that's the one that slipped my mind. Let's see what that one is. People probably know more about it than I do. And
Oh, that's the guys that make the buses and stuff. Well, they're pretty much the ones that make everything for Europe too. And they make the cab over stuff. So basically they're Traton is the company that makes the straight trucks. Whenever you see a straight truck cab over, you know, those little bitty, like Isuzus and all that. And Traton is the one that's making all the big trucks for Europe, Volkswagen, stuff like that. So when you see that, of course, so to my guess, that might be one of the only companies that Europe operates. I mean, that builds trucks for Europe, because I don't know if the others do or not. But there are four here in the United States, and it says semi-truck makers have been seeing record demand for trucks in recent months and have pivoted from managing extremely high supply constraints to filling orders that parts are starting now to flow more freely. And we had this thing, you know, because a lot of those little parts that go in the trucks, they're all made in China, and we had problems with getting supply chains, like come from Hong Kong and Taiwan, stuff like that. And the ships weren't coming in and everything, so that was a big problem. We got here a vice president of sales and marketing for Daimler says demand for trucks is, I would say, unprecedented. He says, we've seen an incredible demand going through COVID and continuing well into this year. That demand actually exceeds our capacity, and it exceeds the capacity of the entire industry. Well, yeah, because when you stop making trucks, but trucks still had to get down the road. You know, and you shut down everything, and we couldn't get trucks. So, I mean, take a year off. I mean, I always thought this was funny that I remember I was in charge of the training department for Swift Transportation way back in the day. And every week we would have close to 100 new applicants coming into an orientation that would be experienced drivers and trainees coming in every week, 100, you know, maybe 80. You know, sometimes all the way down to 60. We thought 60 was awesome sometimes because it was like a time to catch up, because we were always behind. We were always, always, always behind. So we were like, why don't we just take a week off? That way we can catch up. And no, couldn't do it, because we would lose so much, like the trucks would sit. We lose so many drivers a week that you have to bring in that many to just keep the trucks full, to keep the freight moving. So you can't take a week off. And one of those things is that, okay, we're making so many trucks and they're just sitting out there in the yard. Well, what if we just took some time off? And of course, your employees, they don't want to do that. You know, your sales guys need time. They need extra time. They can't, once they sell 100, 200 come available off the line, ready to sell. So they're like, no, just stop making them so fast. We can't sell them fast enough. Well, now, since they shut everything down, now you got salesmen out there saying, hey, I need trucks. No, we ain't got none. We only can make so many a day. And even after COVID and supply chain issues and all that, you're still not making as much as you were. You know, now everybody needs trucks. He says somewhere between 95,000 and 284,000 new semi-trucks are sold in America each year. And as of late 2022, sales were on track to be on the high end of that, said J.D. Power analyst Chris Visser. On average, a semi with a sleeper cabin will cost about $150,000. A fully loaded can run up to $200,000. Hey, I don't think that's right. I think it needs to be higher than that. But, I mean, a stripped down – well, I'll just tell you this. If you got those numbers, it's not because that's how much they cost. That's how much these big companies are buying them for. Because when they buy 100 or 1,000 at a time, they're getting a good deal. So, but that's not, you know, the high end is what the owner-operator pays for an individual truck. It says four companies dominate the U.S. truck manufacturing: Daimler Trucks, PACCAR, Volvo, and then Traton. Daimler is the biggest with about 40% of the market share, mostly through its Freightliner brand. And the Freightliner is what all the big companies buy. If they're not buying Volvos, you know, if you got a company out there that's buying like Kenworths or Peterbilts, it's that they either had made a deal with a dealership or somehow to the effect of like that, but it's something, it's not to do with money, because Freightliners are cheap. And then You know, it's all about deals. A lot of times what you'll see, if there's a big, big trucking company that's got more than 1,000 trucks or something, chances are that the owner of that company or somebody that's affiliated with the mass decision-making of that company, they probably own or have their name on a dealership somewhere. You know, all these like CR England, Swift, Schneider, they're all tied to a dealership somehow, to where it's not only are they getting a good deal on the trucks, but then the commission for selling those trucks is topped on that, you know. So it's always something going on like that, making money. It says the business is going through a period of tremendous change. It says truck makers are spending billions to replace fuel-burning diesel engines with battery and hydrogen-powered electric systems. Nah, that's not big, whatever. It says there is also a race to build trucks that can remove the driver entirely, which could drive down costs to allow companies to run trucks without brakes. If I was just this paragraph here just bugs the hell out of me, because if you're somebody that has no idea about the trucking industry, then you're assuming that this is a big part of what's going on out there right now, but it's not. Okay, it's not. I mean, most truck drivers, we see it on the internet, or maybe even on the news. And every now and then you might see it out there on the road, but it's very rare. Especially the electric power trucks. It's, you know, I see self-driving more frequently than I see anything without diesel engines. So there's a lot of this change is being forced from the outside of the ranks of the companies that have served this market for decades. Now, you can credit Tesla CEO Elon Musk with making trucking cool, as polarizing as he can be. It's so stupid, said Craig Fuller, founder and CEO of FreightWaves, which provides data and news about the trucking industry. Can't believe he said that. It's so silly. It says legacy truck makers such as Daimler have led to invest the electric semi-truck technology, partly to satisfy increasingly stringent and regulations, and partly to compete with attention-grabbing outsiders such as Musk. Again, if you were somebody that just reading this and had no idea what the actual industry is going on, okay, Tesla trucks, yeah, they're out there, but they're not out there, okay? Just know that. He said, but it's unclear if there is a solid business case for some of these innovations. He says, foul play has been plagued the industry recently. The founder of the once-hyped hydrogen fuel truck maker Nikola Motors has been convicted of fraud, and the prominent self-driving truck startup True Simple fired the CEO over improper dealings with the Chinese firm. Well, yeah. See, there you go. We don't see it. We don't know about it in the trucking industry, but that's in the business world. That's a bad deal. So, as established truck makers such as Daimler, which is more than a century old, is balancing keeping their particular and often extremely cost-sensitive customers happy in the present, while investing in the uncertain future. And wow, they put some kind of little typo down at the bottom. That's funny. Never seen that before. It's like a different little paragraph at the bottom of this article, and it was talking about, it's trying to correct something it said before, but all it is a typo. So, incredible demand. See what this say up here. Where is that? No. I know it's up here. I don't know. That's weird. It says misstated the time frame. I don't know. It's it says going into this year, but he might have said it last year. It's so funny. But yeah. I don't know. It's everything like 515-602. Yeah, let's do it there. That's good. So, yeah, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in, listening along. I'd like to thank Trucker Tools. TruckerTools.com is the download their app from their app store. It's the Trucker Tools app where you can book freight, track freight, and you can even plan your route and get parking, truck stop information, fuel stops, maintenance, even Walmarts. So check those guys out. TruckerTools.com, that's your website, but you can download their app anywhere you get your apps from your phone there. It's Trucker Tools app, Trucker Tools. the app for truckers. Appreciate everybody joining us. So yeah, what do you think? To me, I would think that it would be better for trucking if these companies weren't merged together. If Volvo and Mack were separate, if Peterbilt and Kenworth were separate, you know, I mean, we already saw Ford sold off their big truck system to Freightliner. So, like, Ford's like, now we're done with it. We're not making these big trucks anymore. Ford was making them, right? And then they said, you know, we're done making them. And then they sold that part of it to Daimler . And then they switched over to Sterling. Y'all remember Sterling? And then at one point, Sterling, like, because Daimler is basically Dodge, right? So at one point, when you would see a Dodge pickup that was like a 2-ton pickup with the pickup body, which was like a basically a Dodge Ram, right? But it had Sterling on the front end of it. I remember those coming across from Mexico because they would make the truck and then to convert it over, they would, transfer it over. So yeah. I don't know. I always thought it was better for truckers or better for owner-operators when these companies actually had to compete. Well, they don't really have to compete anymore. I mean, it's four. That's it. You know, so if you don't like one, you like the other. You're like, oh, I don't like Kenworth. I like Peterbilt. Well, they're the same now. So it doesn't really matter. So, anyway, tell us what you think. 515-602-9731. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Give us a call. And I'll be back in a second.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple. DPF Regeneration.
Well, the midnight headlights blind you on a rainy night, steep grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time. But I gotta keep rolling. Those windshield wipers slapping out of tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. Yeah, I gotta keep rolling.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and I Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us along. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. And we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. So the four manufacturers, even with them massing out trucks like they are now, they're still behind. And the demand is like even higher. It's growing. So it's pretty much, you know, a seller's market right now. They can just run up the price whenever they want, I guess. And we see the prices are going up for big trucks. So what do you think? And is trucks out there? You see them? You see changes? The article said here that electric trucks and self-driving trucks are taking over. And I don't see a lot of them out there. So let me know. 515-602-9731. And let's go check things out. So I think Jeff's on the line here. What's going on, bud?
Well, Ed, I've got to say you are so full of shit tonight.
Yeah.
How many trucks have you went and priced and bought lately?
Oh, I ain't done nothing. I don't know. Are they expensive?
Yeah. They're expensive, well, but for you to be running down knocking Freightliners like you are when you don't really know what you're talking about there is kind of gets under my skin a little bit.
What are you talking about? I said Freightliners are cheap. That's what I said.
They are. You make them sound like they're the cheapest. You call them a Dodge. I don't know why you do that. Why is that?
Because it's true. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's not.
What do you mean it's not true?
there is another manufacturer that's even coming close to making what Detroit's making. I mean, engines. Cummins can't do it. PACCAR ain't doing it. Volvo ain't doing it. And far as other stuff in the new trucks, Freightliner, Sterling's got the edge over everybody. Now Western Star is trying, but Daimler owns that too. So I don't know how you put Daimler in the Dodge category.
It's the same company. It's owned by the same people.
Daimler Dodge is owned by the same people.
Yes, Chrysler.
Thank God.
Daimler Chrysler.
Thank God they're putting their heads into the trucks instead of the pickups.
See, that's so funny to me. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Same company.
When is that? I don't. Are you sure?
Okay. Well, Jeff, Greg's not on the line here.
What?
Okay, but he owns a Dodge pickup truck. Okay, and he would tell you. Okay, Daimler. Daimler is Chrysler. Chrysler, Daimler, Chrysler. You know that, right? Daimler, Chrysler. That's the name of the company.
Never heard of it.
What do you mean?
Never heard Daimler, Chrysler.
Okay. I don't tell you. It's the same company. Okay. They're making the same trucks. Like you say, Western Star, Volvo, Ford had a trucking company that they were making trucks, and they sold it to Daimler, and that turned into Sterling. So when Dodge was making big trucks, they were trying to make 2-ton, 3-ton pickup trucks. They were putting Sterling's name instead of Dodge's name because Sterling, they wanted to boost the Sterling name. And I don't even know if Sterling's still around. Sterling, I think they just shut it off because they got tired of making those bodies. They just make the one body style now, you know, that kind of thing. So I think Western Star and Freightliner might be the only two companies that Daimler makes still. But, you know, I mean,
as
when you
far
go
as far as cheap, I went out and priced trucks 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I could buy a Volvo cheaper than I could buy a Freightliner, and I could buy a Peterbilt cheaper than I could buy a Freightliner. Because they couldn't come close to the features. They don't even have them. And the engine, nobody else, I mean, that's specific to Freightliner.
Well, I mean, what I would say to the features is that there's a lot of truckers out there that don't like those features. That what you're talking about. You know, I mean, I talk to owner-operators a lot. Owner-operators, when a guy is an old-school trucker, and he has, like, an older truck. The reason why he has an older truck is because the older truck has crank windows. He don't want power windows. He wants crank windows because he knows when the power motor goes out, that's something you got to fix. He don't want to do that. You know, I remember I got told that back in the 90s. If you're going to go buy a truck, buy one that ain't got nothing in it. Because that way if something breaks, you ain't got to, you know, it's not going to break if it's manual. I mean, that's what they all say. So, yeah. I just think it's funny. Freightliner is cheap.
Well, I just did a fact check on you, and yeah, it does say.
Does say what?
Daimler Chrysler, but it doesn't say Freightliner. It says they own the Mercedes.
Yeah.
Chrysler, I mean, all that there, but it don't say nothing that they have anything to do with Freightliner. And I know Daimler does own Freightliner, but I don't know.
Yes.
I guess what got me is you calling it cheap, and then, like I say, you have never gone out and bought a truck.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this.
You haven't gone out and priced them.
Well, no, I mean, all I see is what gets bought. And y'all know that companies, trucking companies, are buying Freightliners. And they're not buying Freightliners.
They sure are.
They're not buying Freightliners because I'd say this. They're probably buying Freightliners because they're the best for the price. And they might not be the cheapest, but they are the better deal, you would say, is where they can get them for the lowest price, you know. And also, too, just like you're talking about, Freightliner now, Detroit Diesel and Freightliner are same. You cannot buy a big truck with a Detroit diesel in it unless it's a Freightliner. And Detroit Diesel is a great engine manufacturer. And now Detroit Diesel is making everything. They're making the drive shaft, the transmission, the axles,
front,
everything.
Front axle, rear axle is all Detroit on this.
Complete drivetrain is Detroit Diesel. They don't use, what is it called, Eaton Fuller, nothing like that. They don't do nothing like that anymore.
Nope.
It's all Freightliner.
Nope.
In fact,
Freightliner.
In fact, some people were complaining. A lot of people complain because it's all enclosed. So a regular mechanic really can't work on it, you know, because of the fact that you have to take the whole thing apart and to change out stuff and all that, or unless you, I don't know if they got special deals or whatever, but a lot of mechanics didn't like the fact that, you know, everything was one deal, but you know, that's a mechanic thing. I don't really know nothing about that, but yeah, Detroit Diesel, that's probably, to me, I'll tell you this, the reason why Freightliners are good because of Detroit Diesel. Has nothing to do with Freightliner. Has everything to do with Detroit Diesel. That's what I would say.
I totally disagree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I've always had
Freightliner. I totally disagree.
I've never had Freightliner. Yeah.
Freightliner is one of the only companies out there that has a research team dedicated to making these trucks better. On the road testing them daily. Peterbilt and PACCAR don't have a fleet of their own trucks doing nothing for testing purposes like Freightliner does, like Daimler does.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, they can do all the testing they want, but if the people don't like the truck, then the people aren't going to buy the truck. So, obviously, you know, there's something going on there where you got owner-operators not buying Freightliners, they're buying other trucks. So why are these owner-operators not buying? If they go out there and they buy a Peterbilt and they don't want a Freightliner, what's to do with that? Why are they doing that?
One reason is a Pete buyer will always buy a Pete. That's just like a Chevy buyer will never buy a drive of Ford or Dodge.
Okay, so why can't you say the other way around? Why can't you say a Freightliner will never buy a Peterbilt?
Well, I looked at them. Looked at them. I had a Pete once in my life. I liked it, but they didn't compare to what this one did. There's no leg room in them. I need leg room. They didn't have the features this one had, you know. And like I said, as far as dependability, you know, I got 360,000 miles on, and all I've had in the truck for oil changes and recalls. And the recalls, I laughed at, but I went ahead and had them do it, you know.
Yeah.
There ain't another manufacturer on the road that's making the fuel mileage that Freightliners are. So a lot of companies are going with Freightliner because it affects their bottom line. It saves them fuel. The cost of the truck is nothing. The cost of the truck will be paid for by the fuel savings within 4 years.
Yeah, well, we got Volvos and Freightliners where I work, and they all get 9 miles a gallon. So I don't know. I don't see a big difference in fuel mileage with those.
I've gotten as high as 11, so.
Yeah. We probably have two. I don't know. We see like the entire fleet. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Volvos get 8 and the Freightliners. I don't know. I got computers on mine. I can see the fuel mileage, and they all always say between 8.5 and 9.5, depending on, you know, what you're pulling and all that. But they say that our company average is 9, is what they say.
And your company here again, your trucks are turned down, right?
Yeah, they all run 65.
Yep. That ain't the great way to always save fuel. So, but like I said, it's regardless. And as far as you want to go talk about cheap trucks, ProStar is probably the cheapest truck on the road.
No, I tell you that I did drive an International one time, and it was a pain in the ass. It was loud and noisy. Now I give you this: all the newer trucks drive like cars. As far as like when you close the door, it seals everything up, and that's every truck.
Oh yeah,
all the new trucks are doing that.
Oh
now.
Yeah,
it's amazing to me
that they're just now catching on this. They're like, hey, you know what? If we made them more like cars in the sound thing, it would be more appealing. Oh, yeah. Hello. Yep. Well, here, let's bring on the PACCAR guy. I think this is Robbie.
Well, I was gonna tell you. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Daimler came in the game with Chrysler back in, I think it was 99 or 98. Because I worked for Dodge in 99, and I remember them coming to it. They first started with a Chrysler 300, and then in 03, that's when everything started coming full tilt.
Yeah.
And all the manufacturers, everyone shares something. Ford, Lincoln, Mercury, Toyota, Lexus. There's always somebody in cahoots with somebody. PACCAR, Pete Kenworth. Then you got Freightliner and Western Star. They're together. Ford's with Volvo now, I think. Or sold out to them. Everyone, it's a money game with everybody.
Yeah. So,
all right, 1998, Dodge bought them out, or Chrysler bought out Chrysler. 1998.
Yeah.
Yep. Because I worked at the dealership. I remember that.
Yeah, and that's when the Century class first came out. And you remember the FLDs and all the Freightliners had different keys. And when the Century came out, that's when they started making the Chrysler keys for the big trucks. So the keys were different in the locks. And then ever since, it was so funny because it's like we always had the same key for our Freightliners. They all looked the same. And then all of a sudden if you got a Century class or anything newer, it had a different key. And even the keys come with the Chrysler logo on them. And then of course they figured out, they said, let's not do that.
I've been in, I've drove a Freightliner, a Volvo, Kenworth, what I have now. I think the only truck that I have not drove is either a Ford or a Sterling, even international. And I know you're not going to like this. Greg would probably not like this, but I like my KW. I like how it rides.
Well, they say that the KW, you know, like in the General Motors line, Cadillac's the top of the line. GMC's the top of the line in the pickup in the General Motors. They say that Kenworth is the Cadillac. In the PACCAR line.
You know, there'd be probably only one truck that I know of, which is Greg's truck, which he has air ride all the way around. I've never drove a truck that had front air ride.
I tried to order this
ride
one that
pretty
way.
Pretty smooth right now.
They wouldn't give it to me on this one.
Hmm.
You can buy a kit or make one yourself, which I'm in the process of making one myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, you can probably. That's. I mean, I remember those were always in magazines, the kits to convert it over to air ride for the front end.
But they
and if you want to fabricate, if you got the patience to fabricate brackets and whatnot.
Hmm.
They told me on this one, since I ordered it longer, it couldn't support the weight for the longer. Frame
or whatever
is what Daimler was telling me. So
they were blowing smoke up your butt. I know guys that have 300-inch wheelbases that have air ride up front.
I think say I could be that was the ideal thing. If you had a longer wheelbase, you would want the air ride. Like that was the better thing to do.
That's what the engineers told me. And until my ward is all up,
there you go again.
There's
engineers.
Well, yeah,
some of these engineers don't know their butt from the hole in the ground.
Well, some of them went to A&M, so you got to watch out for that.
Oh yeah, they're just book smart, and that's it.
they're Texas Aggies. That's what
I got. I got other comments for that, but we'll keep it as a kid friendly show tonight.
But I always thought this paragraph was always interesting to when they said that the industry, the truck manufacturing industry, is going through tremendous change, when they said they're spending billions to replace the fuel-burning diesel engines with battery and hydrogen-powered electric systems. And I didn't think they were spending billions, but, I mean, I know they're spending a lot of money. But, again, I don't see them out there. Even when I go to certain yards or whatever, I don't see – you know, even Walmart. I thought Walmart would have, like, you know, their own little parking spots for electric trucks, but they don't even do it. Not here in Texas, anyway. I'm not real sure.
No, I haven't seen anything either. It's just mainly for cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The most electric commercial stuff that I'm seeing is coming out is all for Amazon.
Yeah, that's true. The funny thing with Amazon is the reason why I'm at a truck stop, and the lane next to me is one of those Amazon vans, and this girl gets out and she's got her little phone with her. I think it's not a phone, it's a tablet, but it's smaller. It's a small tablet, and she's looking at it, and pushing buttons, and she's looking at the pump, and then pushing buttons on her tablet. She keeps looking at the pump and everything, and she has no idea how to do this, and then come to find out it's not a diesel truck that she had. She had a regular truck, and she was pulled over to the diesel side. But I guess some of them have diesel and some of them don't. I don't know. But, I mean, I know there's a good reason to convert all your little Amazon trucks to electric, is because the people you're hiring don't know how to get fuel. You know, and it's like, well, I guess if you made them electric, that would just eliminate all that problems, but, you know, and all that.
I had a guy, the place where I was loading today, he asked me if my truck was an automatic. I go, hell no.
Yeah.
What do I need an automatic truck for? That's a sissy girl truck. I like a man's truck.
Now. God damn.
No, that's what I call an automatic, a sissy girl's truck. Can't grab a shifter anymore.
Dude, my problem with the automatic, the Volvo automatic is the worst, because the Volvo automatic does not have anywhere where I can switch it over to a manual and actually shift it. It's all push button, and it's on the dash, and you just push the button and then go. And there's a reverse button you got to push and all this. Well, in the Freightliner, at least it's like on it's on the opposite side of the turn signal, so it's like a lever. And it's really big. It's got a bunch of knobs on it and all that. But I just, you know, twist it to put it in drive. But also, that's where the engine brake is when you move that lever like a turn signal, that's where the engine brake is. But also, I can flick it, like pull it up, and it'll upshift. And I push it down, and it'll downshift. So when I'm going up a hill, and the computer just won't downshift, like I'm slowing down. I'm like, dude, downshift already. And it won't downshift until I get going well below where I feel I need to be. So as soon as I start slowing down, I just flick that button down, that lever, and it'll downshift, and then the truck will just boom right back up the hill, you know. But the computer does not like downshifting. I don't know if they've got it set wrong or if that's just the way the technology is, but it bogs down way slow before it'll downshift.
So now can you run that in full manual mode?
It has a selection for it, and then when I do it, it doesn't do anything. So I don't know if they have it turned off. The company may have went in there and shut it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see on there, it's got a switch that says M and A, and when I flick it, nothing happens. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that downshifting, maybe it's because what I pull is not usually that heavy. So I'm not that heavy. So if I have my foot on the floor, actually, I'll tell you this. If I've got the cruise set and it starts going up the hill, it'll bog down. But it might downshift. Sometimes if I'm heavy, it'll downshift quicker if I got my foot on the floor. And that way it knows, hey, let's go. You know, it's kind of like me telling it, let's go. But if I'm not that heavy, it'll still just bog down. And I'm like, damn it, come on now. Especially
I guess Greg's not going to. Craig's not going to get on the phone. He's napping.
Yeah, he's napping. He's doing something else. They probably had a show yesterday. I don't know what they did yesterday. Whenever I get the day off like I do on Wednesdays, I step away. So I go do other things. So I don't know what they talked about yesterday.
No, I was yesterday when the show came on, and they just pulled me into the bay to – I had to do my DOT inspection on my truck and trailer.
Right.
And went and unloaded and did a load this morning, and then this afternoon I've been working on my truck. Because it failed.
Was the show, Robbie?
Huh?
Huh?
Was you on? You weren't listening last night?
No, I was in the bay getting DOT.
I was wondering because they were talking about you and you never buzzed in. So.
No, I was busy.
Greg was talking about your RGN.
Oh, you want to buy it?
No. Oh. No, I am 5,000 away. I have this one paid for, and I don't want no more truck expense till I retire.
No, I might be getting a step deck and trading in the RGN.
That makes sense.
Kind of.
Although about the time you do that, then they'll raise the rates on RGN again.
That's fine. They can keep it. I don't see that happening.
Fun, huh?
I don't see that happen at all.
As I say, I think the way Robbie sees it is that they'll never raise the rates because there's too many idiots out there pulling RGN that'll do it for next to nothing. I mean, that's pretty much the whole model for Landstar. Landstar drivers that haul RGN, I don't see any of them how they make money. I don't know how they do it.
No.
Yeah, especially with their percentage too.
That's
their
what I'm saying.
Their percentage is not very great.
Yeah, and then you've got an RGN to boot, which means that you better be making a good. I mean, the rate that the customer would pay to a Landstar RGN would have to be really high for that RGN driver to make any money.
Yeah.
But
I just don't see the rates going up real high. Not for what I should be making.
You don't really see that many RGNs in the road. You think they'd be a very specialized high dollar pull every time.
Right. I don't know. To me, it's that. It's the
most of the brokers just look from point A to point B. It takes you this much. That's what we're going to pay. We're going to pocket the rest.
Pocket.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't know the all the expenses that a guy with an RGN has with it. Most RGNs are more than a house.
Price-wise, I bet.
Oh, yeah. My trailer, I bought mine for $93. This time this year, that same trailer is going for $135,000.
Wow.
Same exact trailer.
And you're still having trouble selling yours.
Uh-huh.
What's that tell you?
I
kind of
gave up
buy
on
a brand
it,
new
and,
one from you.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much brand new. It's only had maybe two dozen loads on it, if that, and that's on the high side.
Wow.
I've done two this year, and that's it.
But trucks are starting to get easier to get a hold of, too, so I don't know what article, Ed, you're reading off of. So
trucks are what now? Would you say trucks are what?
Well, I just are coming back online where you could get one a lot quicker than you used to be able to. 6 months ago, you couldn't find one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's what they're saying.
So,
they say the demand
price of trucks have come down as well. So,
yeah, this here doesn't really say that it was like near impossible back then. I mean, we knew that, But they're just saying demand now, I guess, is just as high as it was, or the demand is just as high as it was. They're able to produce trucks now, you know. So they're saying the demand is still pretty high. And then they say that, excuse me, it says, where does it say it was going to be? It says somewhere between, it says between 95,000 to 280,000 are sold in America each year. As of late 22, sales were on track on the high end of that. So in 2022, numbers have not come in yet, but they expect it to be over 280,000 for the year. So, and of course, that was because we know that 2020 sales fell off, and then, of course, 2021. But they're still actually saying that the other thing that they're having issues with is getting the parts from overseas.
Well, even Ford and Chevy dealers can't stockpile new trucks in the lot no more. They're allotted only so many, and pretty much you've got to have a sales order to get one in.
Yep, that's right.
Well, it's not just big trucks. It's just cars. Look at just the automotive, just a car.
That's what I said.
Truck, pickup truck, big truck, trailers. It don't matter.
Yeah,
it's just they're far fewer. They're down. Not like what it was like five years ago, where they were having trucks come in and they couldn't sell them fast enough, or they always had plenty of inventory.
I drive by these big towns and see these great big car lots, empty. You know, just like my God. I don't know if it's ever going to get back to that day of stockpiling new cars for sale. I don't think it's going to happen.
It'd take a miracle.
I did talk to a guy that hauls cars the other day, and a lot of the pickups and stuff are being rolled out now because they finally got chips in for pickups that were made 12 months ago.
Isn't that something?
I just can't. Can you imagine buying it? My buddy of mine just bought a new Denali GMC, and he said he paid close to $75,000 for it. He counted off like 12 options in the cab that don't work because that chip isn't there. So he's buying a truck all fully loaded.
But nothing works.
You know, nothing works. Okay, I just can't believe people would even do that. But he's I'll get a chip one of these days. I mean, my guy's truck's gonna be used before half the options work on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like buying a big truck without tires. It's like, well, it'll sit. I'll get tires on it someday.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine buying a vehicle and the windshield and the windows won't go down because chip ain't there to run them?
Yeah. Or the defroster won't work.
I like my manual door window.
Yeah, well, yeah. I said a lot of drivers don't buy trucks nowadays because they don't want all that fancy crap, and that you can't buy anything without the fancy crap on it anymore.
You know, it's standard now.
I love my fancy crap. I bought it. I'm glad I bought mine when I did.
Yeah, but nobody sold you. I thought you said you were going to sell it when the prices were sky high. Did you put it in the truck paper?
No, I should have, but I could have been retired on the profit, but then I'd be bored.
Yep. Well, here,
I've had
bored.
A couple people ask me if I wanted to sell my truck, only if the trailer goes with it.
Yeah. Don't be bored anymore because your best friend's here.
Well, no, not exactly.
Greg?
Oh, no, here we go. This is that tip. There you go. I just saw 330.
Yeah, Greg's in on the heating pad because the shoulders don't bother him. But, no, you were talking about the time to get the trucks. I have a friend that her and her husband, they go out and get a new pickup every couple years, and they went last week or the week before to spec out a new truck. He's a diehard Ford fan for whatever reason, God only knows. But he went and looked at them, and he always tells them he wants, certain things. Well, they told him, well, unfortunately, we can't guarantee you all those extras that you want. It will be able to just kind of tell you when it's getting built if we can add those, because we're not sure if we'll be able to add those things they want. And then they wouldn't even give him a price on his trade-in, which they keep their trucks usually 3 years and trade them in. But they wouldn't even give him a price on it. They said, we won't even give you a quote on a trade-in price until the day you decide to trade the vehicle in. That's
wow.
When I'll tell you what the trade is on.
Yeah, remember when it was good for 30 days. It was like if you came into like CarMax or somewhere and they quoted you a trade-in, that once they gave you that, it was good for 30 days. And then you could compare that to whatever. Now it's like you bring it in the next day and they're like, oh, the price has changed now.
the way the demand is for all the trucks anymore, that's why they won't give them a trade-in price on it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's still going to keep his truck because he's still going to drive it. You know, they don't drive it near as much as they, did because, of course, gas prices, but it's still one of those points where, they do this every couple years and trade it, and they go to the same dealerships. They actually went to a couple different ones trying to find somebody else that, could do a little bit better, and he was actually going to go and get a Dodge, but to have a Dodge boat right now, it's like a 3-year waiting list.
Wow.
I was surprised today. I drove by one of those Carvanas.
In ordering a big truck.
Yeah.
I drove by a Carvana today, and it was empty. There wasn't a single car in there.
Yeah, because they like, diesels. That's why every time he gets a pickup, it's always a diesel. But he said to finding the Dodge diesel is like, pulling teeth, which, when Greg found his, he stole it, literally. But because of the price of it.
I've been trying to get to load that up on my trailer and bring it home. Greg's not for it.
You know that will never happen. But I know where there's a Ford diesel that you could buy.
No, I don't want no Ford diesel.
Why? You like Fords, Robbie.
No, not really.
Isn't that what you have as a Ford now?
Well, I got two Fords here and a Dodge.
Yeah, okay. Greg says you got one good car, that's it.
Well, actually, I got a hell of a deal on my son's pickup.
True.
I only paid $1,700 for his truck.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but it is, we noticed a car dealership over here in town. They've actually gotten more vehicles in there, but still not a crap load of them.
Like Sean, go get a car.
He's particular. Well, no, he doesn't need. He wants certain things that he has to have.
It's what he wants.
Well, yeah. Well, they like having the vinyl interior, the flooring and everything, because they have long-haired dogs, and it's easier to get the hair out because the seat has to flip up out of the way because they leave the dogs in the back when they travel. So they like the vinyl flooring because it's easy to clean up with the dogs.
Okay, here's a question for debate. Okay, the debate that was started before you called in, Greg, answer this question. Would you own a Freightliner if it didn't come with the Detroit diesel?
If it didn't come with a Detroit diesel?
Yeah. My deal is the only reason why people buy Freightliners today is because they're the only truck you can get with a Detroit diesel.
If it would come with an N14 Cummins, then yeah.
I wouldn't buy a new Freightliner right now with the Detroit that's in them with
me.
Just like Cummins, and they're like Cummins and Mercedes, and now they're junk too anymore. They're having too much trouble with the DD15s and with the after treatment and everything. No, I wouldn't.
Jeff hasn't got into that after treatment freaking headache yet. Give it another about 100 to 200,000 miles. You're gonna hate life. Been there, done that.
300,000 to 400,000, 500,000, they start showing up. That's why these companies all start trading these trucks off by 3 years.
But by
they
when
trade,
the truck
they
hits about right around four
to
450.
Problems.
Well, I don't think I'll last that long. I'll be retired by then.
you're not old enough to retire yet, Jeff. You're good.
I'm old enough to retire tomorrow.
That's why my truck's gone on a diet. Because I was tired of the headache.
I've heard that, and my regen on my Columbia, that's the biggest headache I had on it was that regen. So far, so good. This one here, I haven't had any. I know people that's got new trucks and has had all kinds of trouble with the regen. Knock on wood, I'm good yet.
Hey Jeff, how big's your DEF tank? How much DEF do you hold? Like, what's the max?
I want to say 20 gallon, maybe.
Yeah, see, they
I
put
don't know,
30,
yeah, either
I,
a 20. Mine was either a 20 or 25. I can't remember. I never ran it that low though.
So the Volvo.
I don't know. Yeah, I fill up every other.
Well,
if
you top
off. Mine got to a half a tank. It got filled.
Yeah. See, so because we have to get the everything done at the centers, you know, at our terminals and everything, the DEF tanks get really low sometimes, and the Freightliners they only got like 12, 15 gallon tanks. The Volvos still got the big tanks on them. They're like 20. And they'll go a whole week without, you know, I can run it down to low all week, but not the Freightliner. Freightliner, it's like you got to fill it up twice a week because it's so small. And because it's a day cab, I guess. This causes a big problem.
Yeah, it all depends on if it's an over-the-road truck or a day cab. Day cabs are usually smaller.
Yeah, but
no matter what make it is.
But, the day cabs probably run, if not more miles, because of the slip seating, you know?
Yep. The truck's never stopped.
No, it's never. I mean, you know, so I just don't.
It has hard miles, too, but it's all a lot of the local deliveries and stuff, in-town deliveries, all stop and start all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's harder on than running long haul.
Exactly. You can actually see the DEF needle move if it's idling. You know, when it doesn't get a good long hard RPM pull like on a long stretch of miles, then the DEF tank just gets used and used and used. So yeah, I see that too. What did he do? Oh yeah, the other guy, he had to. We used to have the guy run every truck every week, and then it used to get full. But these new ones now, they don't. It's like they got to go twice a week. But now everybody. So before, when I first started working here, they didn't give any of the drivers fuel cards. They had somebody bring the fuel, and the DEF, they went out down to the local Napa or whatever, or the freight, even though they went to the dealership and bought DEF at the dealership. I was like, man, how much are they paying for that? It was so stupid.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, so now everybody's got a fuel card. And so it's like, well, that's gotta be way cheaper. You gotta think that's cheaper, you know, and all that. And it is, I mean, you know, especially when you buy it through the fuel card, because fuel card, you're getting discounts on everything, you know, and all that. I remember when my brother-in-law had a new pickup truck and it had DEF on it, and he was always buying the DEF and always, you know, had the cartons. He had like 8 or 9 of those big jugs in the back of his, in the bed of his pickup. And I said, dude, why don't you go to the truck stop and get DEF at the truck stop? He says, well, they don't have it at the pumps. I said, yeah, they do. So he calls me. He's like, I'm at the pump right now. There's no DEF. And I said, dude, are you at the front where they sell gasoline? He says, yeah. He says, no, drive around back. There's fuel lines back there for big trucks. I said, and that DEF nozzle will fit. You can get everything. And he's like, son of a bitch. because it's like half as much, right?
It's less money.
It's way less money. Yeah. So he's like,
no, I think you got to watch around back when you go filling a trunk up, pickup up back here with fuel pumps. If you ain't careful, you'll get a bath in it.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said those are high flow.
Well, oil won't fit. The nozzles won't fit.
The diesel nozzles are the same.
Yeah, we tried that in Vado, New Mexico, filling up my buddy's truck, and the nozzle wouldn't fit in his truck.
Really?
Granted, it wouldn't fit. It was I think his is an 02 or an 01.
I don't know. Yeah. Mine's an 04, and there ain't no plug in the tank, so the big truck nozzle will go right down in mine.
It wasn't that. It was on the neck where the cap goes on. That was too small. The opening was too small.
Well,
the hose was big enough.
I bet it was that piece of shit Ford, wasn't it?
Hey, shush. Actually, that
there
Ford,
you go.
That Ford
see,
makes
yeah,
some
we
power.
Were just talking about that. I'll get a real truck, and he won't have that problem.
Yeah.
No, his truck will keep up with that Cummins that you got.
Let's see if it keeps up with
pushed.
How long.
I was going to say, it might keep up, but put a trailer behind it, and then let's talk.
I'll put
a 48-foot trailer behind it.
See how many miles he gets out of some bitch before it blows up, though. The power strokes, they don't run a long time before they start having problems with them.
Yeah, I want to change the subject just a little bit. Talking about filling your truck up. One of my coworkers filled up at the Petro or TA up there, Harbor Freight, Michigan, and somebody had put in a scanner on the pump, and he got his fuel card compromised. Somebody cloned it.
Yeah. So there's a Flying J up here in the middle. It's in the middle of the nowhere. It's up around 37. They actually put big padlocks on there on the fuel pumps now to keep the scammers from like cracks sneaking in there and putting those little they're like little transmitters, and they just put them inside the pump, and it looks for the card. It'll look for it's like an RF reader or whatever, the chip. And it just leaves it there, and it records everything. Well, they got big padlock now. I mean, they used to have just a little bitty, it looked like a little soda machine lock on the side of the pump, and it wasn't very secure. It was real small, and you could still open part of the pump without it triggering anything. Well, now they've got this big old massive padlock on it, like those big round locks that you see, you know, on the side of stuff now. And yeah, it's a bad deal. In fact, I think Flying J and Pilot, I think they went around and they updated all their pumps, because for a while there, their card readers wouldn't work. They just said no card readers. No, you know, if you want to turn the pump on, you either go inside or you use the app. And that's how the pump got turned on. You couldn't stick your card in. It wouldn't work. And because I guess they were having a lot of problem with that down here. So, yeah, you got to watch out for that.
I just wanted to bring that up.
So a lot of my gasoline I buy at the Sam's because it's cheaper. And you can't even, first off, when I pay for the Sam's membership, they were out of cards. They didn't have any cards. So they give you a receipt with a number on it, and you go on the app on the phone and you enter that information, and now you're signed in. So all of your information is in the app. So if you go to the store, you just scan the little reader on your phone. Well, that's how you start the pump at the gas station, is you take a picture of the little code on the pump with the app, and it turns the pump on. So you don't even use a card. Yeah. The card is in your app. You updated all of your bank information in the app. So, yep.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's where it's going now. Is that you got to have a phone in order to buy anything?
Yeah. So that's how I buy fuel for Lowe's now, is through the app.
Through the app, yeah, yep. That's the way it's going now. Remember when they spent all that money on those readers where you could buy a reader that puts in your windshield, and then as soon as you drove under the fuel lane, it would turn that pump on for you because it was or a car, some kind of scanner on your windshield. Like
whatever happened with that. That didn't last long, did it?
Well, I mean, once...
Well, they still got them.
Yeah, but now that the app is there, that's the thing now, you know. So pretty soon, you know, all it is that you take the phone and you scan the little reader or whatever next to the pump, and it turns the pump on. See, on the Flying J Pilot, that's what I use, and you do everything on the app, and then as soon as it gives you a little code, so then you walk up to the pump, you enter that code, and it turns the pump on. So,
and if they can get your phone number, they can give that PIN for that app too.
Well, that's the thing I don't know how it's more secure than reading your card like that. You would think that the chip reader thing from your card would be harder to do, but I guess they don't like the cards anymore or whatever. But the app
on the Lowe's phone, you activate the pump, and you never touch the pump. Everything's done in cab, cash advance. Everything's done on the app. You walk in and ask for your cash advance.
Yep. Yep. So you just enter, when you show up, you type in what pump you're wanting to turn on. You just tell them the pump number on the app.
Yeah,
I
hang back so the reader don't read my window thing, because if the reader reads the window thing, my app don't work.
Isn't that something?
It causes all kinds of problems. So.
Yep, technology. What are we going to do?
Roll with it.
I stopped in, you know, at the convenience store, and I had a 20. It was something changed, right? It's like whatever it is. It's like, you know, this, it'll be 372 or whatever it is, you know, and all that. And I had a 20, and I gave her the 20, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I got change. Well, I guess she didn't hear me because she did everything. And I said, here you go. And she's like, what is that? And she had money to give me, like change. And I said, well, I give you this, and then you just give me another dollar. She's like, no.
Oh, that fucks them up. That fucks them up.
It does, man. I was like, come on.
They don't know how to
pull their calculator out. I knew that. They pulled her calculator out. I said, what do you mean? What do you need a calculator for?
It's 100. You know, it's like it's whatever's in between 100. It's funny.
Too busy.
Yep.
Don't you have work tonight, Ed?
Yeah, I'm fixing to head that way. You guys done?
I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just keep you on the line and make you late for work. Yep. All right.
Good deal. We'll be back tomorrow.
All right, guys. Y'all be careful.
All right, now. Good deal.
Yeah, have a good night.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Good deal. Let's do it. That was Renekanize Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. And back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Check us out, RedNekandEyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And when you go get our website, you can find the links to our YouTube channel and our Facebook page and all that good stuff. And also, you can see links to all of our great sponsors. Another great sponsor I'd like to mention is DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at DPFRegeneration.com. We were just talking about aftermarket systems. Well, if you need help figuring out what you've got going on, or you've got a diesel particulate filter or SCR units that you need help with, just look them up at dpfregeneration.com. They got all the know-how and parts that you need. So get you helped out there. We appreciate all their support at Redneckanize. So, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. And you guys have a great evening. Be safe. Stay successful. And we'll see you out there on the road. Thank you.
we'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.